Okay, our next speaker is Amanda Cassini. We are very fortunate to be able to get a talk in the Open Hardware Dev Room on one of the topics that in the open source community is much more easily addressed in software, but is harder in hardware, as some things are. So please give a warm welcome to Amanda Cassini.
Thank you so much for inviting me here today and for inviting me to speak. I'm very excited to talk to all of you about economics and economic modeling, which to be quite frank, is actually not my background, but is something that is very important for the work I do now. And so who am I, in case you're wondering? So I'm Amanda Cassari. I'm a pale white woman with light hair and eyes. I usually wear glasses, which actually I should put on now if I want to keep reading things. I'm a researcher and engineer at Google, and I'm currently leading a team focused on research and education in our open source programs office. I'm also a co-lead for Project Ocean and Across, which are an external faculty to the Vermont Complex Systems Center, and a co-founder of Open Source Stories with Julia Farioli, who's here today. Thanks for being here, Julia. I sit on the board of directors for something called the Computational Democracy Project, and I once wrote a book with Alice Zhang on feature engineering. I'm also queer, a very proud mom of two smaller humans, a U.S. Navy veteran, and lucky enough to live in the indomitable state of Vermont in the United States. It's just south of Montreal, which is easier for some people to know. And if it helps you better to follow along or understand what we're working on right now or what these slides are, please, there's a bit.ly that you can see all of these slides and my speaker notes, which will amount to a transcript. And that's bit.ly/economics-of-oss. -FOSDEM2024. And so I also just want to put in the caveat, I'm very sorry, but something about listening to things from 1.2 to 1.5 speed means I usually talk at that speed now as well. So hopefully if you miss something, you can go back and look at the transcript and speakers later. I'll do my best to make sure I'm being at a good accessible rate. So like I said, when I gave my introduction, you may have noticed I am not an economist. However, I am a complexity scientist, and I try to see the world through a mix of applied mathematical models and abstractions. And it's this background that I'll be leaning into as we explore economics of open source and open hardware that exists right now. I guess to a little bit more just background, why do I care about this? Why have I been working on this? In 2019, I was originally working in Google Cloud as a DevRel manager. I had an amazing team, but I also had this really nagging feeling that there was something kind of understanding about the way that technology and open source worked that we were fundamentally missing out on when we were trying to estimate and understand our work. And that's how I met, actually through Julia, was the half bakery of ideas in discussing something. I was like, I have a niggling feeling of something we should be working on. She agreed, and together we were able to pitch an idea for what is called Project Ocean. And that's a pilot. It was a pilot. It's continued on now. And that's looking at a collaboration between academia, industry, and communities to understand open source at a global scale. We did launch this in early 2020. Rough time to start a new project. But we were able to achieve many of the goals that we had then. And that work does continue in partnerships and collaborations now. One of the most audacious goals that we had was mapping out the entire open source ecosystem and then sharing that with everybody. And it sounded, honestly, at the time, like it was not that audacious because it just sounded like it was a way of looking at information and then sharing that in a way that everybody could see, which was something that we all do on a normal basis of just making information transparent. But one of the barriers that we ran into then, and we continue to run into now, is just even defining the problem space of open source with stakeholders and communities as a shared understanding. If you've ever done any kind of research, that's always the place you have to start, is being able to actually define the boundaries and the constraints of the problems that you're working within. And the reason that this was a challenge wasn't because there wasn't precedence in explanations of how you could go about that. It's that we were finding that a lot of the mental models and analogies that were used were not actually universal or global. Those models were actually preventing us from having a deeper understanding of the complexity of what was happening in open source. Because they were too simplistic, or honestly, they were, in some cases, just the analogy that no longer existed today and was not the reality of the world that we were living in. So that was really hard for us because all of these models also made an assumption about the kind of baseline that you're working off of. So it gave you an understanding of like, well, this is what we should all assume in terms of the number of people involved, the kind of work that is critical, the amount of money that is existing and transacting to be able to keep this ecosystem thriving. And without all of that, this is where problems might be existing. So if we were looking at this concept of risk and resiliency, you need that baseline to understand where risk and resiliency either has interruptions or needs additional resourcing. So we were struggling with this fact mostly because organizationally, as a group and within this larger company, it was challenging for us to understand how we could move forward, not just effectively, but in a way that moved with purpose. And we can't do that until we start breaking some of those popular over-reductionist models of how digital infrastructure looks today. This is a very popular comic. If you have not seen this yet, this is used a lot to show demonstration of gaps, that only exist in understanding, but also in a collective failure to respond to the challenge that exists for this large global ecosystem. So just to describe it briefly, this is the XKCD comic. There's a bunch of blocks. There's this idea that this represents all of digital infrastructure. And at the very bottom, in a critical space, is a person from Nebraska who has been thanklessly maintaining something since 2003. And more often than not, I mean, this comic gets thrown around quite a bit, but I've actually seen this in position papers as a reason for why someone should be getting billions of dollars to do research or initiatives. This is their example they're giving. It's supposed to be demonstrative of the fact that the open source ecosystem is brittle, and that large-scale investment is critical, but for that very specific purpose that that group wants to get billions of dollars for. And this is why this is my counter to this comic, is that the reality is that we're already spending billions of dollars on sustaining open source. I dislike the term sustaining because you can sustain broken systems. It doesn't mean it's working or it's working well. It just means it can keep going. And so because this has been so effective in centralizing buckets of money and attention, there are walls that are being built around organizational spaces for collaboration that we have to break through in order to keep moving forward. It's not that we're not investing, it's not that investments aren't happening, but it is that increasingly we are localizing decisions for investments and support in a way that is not resilient or creating resilient systems, which is a problem when the system you're dealing with is not localized, does not have local optimums. It's in fact global, it's decentralized, and it's inequitably resourced. So to move forward, we need new approaches for both challenging the assumptions as well as providing well-lit paths as understanding how we can approach this differently. So this brings us to the impetus behind mapping out these open source ecosystems. So not just creating this natural understanding, but really what this whole idea was about is that we were assuming, and we still assume, that if we have better information and better ways to understand the world, we can make better decisions. And this is important for my work, especially in what I get paid to do, because that's understanding where resources that we have available should go. And they always have to be in the context of the business. That's what working for a for-profit company constrains me to.